Good morning and God bless you. We're getting close to the end of Hebrews chapter 10, so let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, we're so grateful to be able to gather together this morning, Lord God, and we're excited to be able to look into your word, Lord, and we actually just ask, Lord, that you'll just open things up to us, Lord, and prepare our hearts for the day's teaching, Lord Jesus. And grant it, Lord, that you'll just be with Brother Wade as he studies, Lord God, and prepare us, Lord Jesus. Grant it, Lord, in your name. Amen. So in verse 18 of Hebrews chapter 10, it says, "Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, the way that Christ prepared for us, that he made for us, where he said, 'I am the way, the truth, and the life,' which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith." So many times Paul expresses to us that we should have, thank you, brother. That was weird. I normally don't forget that. But yeah, so many times Paul expresses to us to have the confidence to draw near, to come boldly to Christ if we have a need. To draw with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Now, verse 22 says, "Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience." And so many times Paul kind of repeats that Christ's blood cleanses us and changes us and changed our heart, our conscience to want to do evil, to want to do the right thing, to have different desires. And that's what as we're kind of, we're moving over into where Paul gets to that famous scripture that we need to assemble together. And so you see where when your heart's changed, where before you didn't want to assemble together, now you want to assemble together. Before you didn't want the things of God, now you want the things of God. So we had an evil conscience. Now our heart has been sprinkled. It's been cleaned up so that now we you know, even though some you stumble and fall and mess up, so your conscience is different. So let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Now, isn't that an interesting word, provoke? Let's kind of sit on that for a little bit. To provoke, you know, a lot of times when you come to church, we do provoke one another. And provoke is like motivate. Provoke means, now I got these two little pigeons that are telling us what are other words for provoke? Arouse, irritate, incite, stir. Doesn't it stir you up when you know, like the proverb says, like we're like iron on iron, sharper than one another. When somebody says, "You should be coming to church. You should be doing it. We should pray more." It stirs you up. It kind of maybe pokes at your weak spot or whatever. To annoy, to stimulate, to instigate, to excite or kindle or call forth. That's what provoke. Now, so Paul's saying, let us consider one another. And so many times, as I was reading these quotes that we're going to get to in a moment about coming to church, so many times Brother Brown would kind of explain that, you know, we're not coming just to our goal is not to just come together as a club or something where we see one another, but we have a higher purpose. So that's what we're provoking one another to consider our higher purpose, that we're here not just we're here to serve a living God and to worship God and to grow. We've got this our roadmap here behind me on the board here, and we're climbing towards something. So that's what we provoke one another to, provoke one another unto love and to good works, to do things for one another, to do things that maybe we're lacking. So provoke is like motivation. It means to motivate or to spark, to pique interest, to stimulate. So isn't that what the preaching of the gospel does? You come to church and you recognize your faults and the things that you're lacking in. And I remember early on in my Christian experience, you come to a good meeting and you go away wanting to pray more, wanting to read your Bible more because it provokes you. Now, course, now the next verse that we're going to get to is as to, after he's talking about provoking, is to come to church. Now, and that is not forsaking. Now, let's consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. So even in that day, some people would not assemble together. It's a problem that has been constant all through the seven church ages, obviously, because it was a problem even in that first church age. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So now, if we look at what exhort means, that also is another word to incite by argument or advice, to urge strongly. So have somebody, you know, just preaching that gospel with all their heart, pouring their heart out, or, you know, in the parking lot, or when we go out to eat. You know, you need to do the things that the Bible speaks of, to give warning or advice, to make urgent appeal. Because, you know, this Christian journey, if you're going to open up a box set or a puzzle or something that's going to say assembly is required, but your Christian walk, assembly is required. It's required to come together. And, well, I've got an assortment of quotes that we'll kind of read through I want to share with you this morning the things that Brother Branham said about coming to church. And I think it'll, I was reading through and it just really opened some things up to me, to realize how important it is to assemble together. And Brother Ram said, so let's start through and kind of meditate on some of these things. He said, it's wrong to stay home from church. It's wrong to stay home from church. Now, to keep in context the things that Paul laid out for us, that what Christ did on the cross changed our conscience. So now we want something different than what we used to want. We're different. And we're provoking and exhorting one another to good works, because to be successful Christians, these are the things that are required. And the thing that's required of you to be a success is to come to church. So first of all, it's wrong to stay home from church. Brother Raymond said, and we would see Jesus, he said, if you loved God, you'd be at church. You've got to get back to the church, back to the Bible, back to Christ. In discerning the body of the Lord, he said, a real born-again man or a woman that's got discernment of the Holy Ghost will find his place in church, worshiping and crying out and doing all that's in his life to try to bring sinners. So a real born-again man or woman that's got discernment, that knows what's right and wrong, is going to be in church. He said, in Christ the mystery of God revealed, don't stay home. If God is in your heart, so now there's another, we can just lay that out as a fact. If God is in your heart, you can't hardly wait for them doors to open out yonder to get in here to fellowship with your brothers. If you don't feel that way. Then I tell you, it's time you got to pray. So we're exhorting and we're provoking. Now the fellow said, Brother Brown said, in the position of a believer in Christ, I can be a Christian and stay home just as well. No, you can't. No. So let's just kind of lay that out there. You cannot be a Christian and stay home just as well. If you want to be successful, if you want to be a successful Christian, you got to come to church. You've got to meet together with the rest of the body. He has blessed us together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And what visions are, he said, we feel that every person is duty bound to attend some church and belong to some church as a Christian. Many people say, oh, I stay home and read my Bible, I'm just as well off. No. The Bible said we shouldn't forsake to assemble ourselves together. We've got to do that. We've got to stand together in all the churches. He said, and sir, we would see Jesus. Don't sit home and criticize. Come see for yourself. Now, that's a weighty one, especially in these days. How easy it is to say, well, I'm not going to go to church because I don't like, pull your list out. I don't like something. But come see for yourself. Search the scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me, said the Lord Jesus. And God doesn't call man to judgment without first warning him. He said, Brother Neville gets to talk to you all the time. So then when I'm down here, maybe drop down. I don't want to be hypocrite enough and not out on a call or nothing. Just sit up there at the house and church open down here. I don't want to be hypocrite enough to be sitting up at the house when the church doors are open down there. He said, "And what hearest thou, Elijah? American people want entertainment. They don't want the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So therefore, the radio and the television will give them more entertainment than the church can do it. And they stay home. All that comes out is the elect of God is still hungering and thirsting and calling and crying for the real thing of God." Now, there's another sentence that if you really meditate on that, he's talking about. He's saying all that comes out is the elect of God that's still hungering and thirsting and calling and crying for the real thing of God. So he's associating coming to church with being genuine, with something in your heart drawing you to fellowship with God and with God's people. Watching his star, he said, "And you out in radio land tonight, I want you to think of that. How can you stay home when there's a revival in the city where the Lord God is manifesting himself?" A true hungry heart wants to get close to God. And they'll go to every move that they know that comes from God. They'll search and seek and hunger and thirst. They long to see God. Come take the Bible and like the Magi's did and read it and see if the scriptures compares with what's being done. Then if it is, you've got a right to rejoice with exceeding great joy. Now you see, well, a real believer is going to come to church because you're called. Your purpose is to worship God. Your purpose is to... you know what you're here for. And back then they had a revival, you know, where they would come, they would gather together and see great signs and wonders. But now we're entering into a bride revival where the word is being opened up, where the mysteries are being unfolded. And how much more should we want to gather together where the word is being made plain? And hear ye him, he said, God wants you to go to church and he wants to manifest something to you through his word, through some move that he's making. You fail to go, you'll miss seeing something. So, again, if you want to be a successful Christian, you got to come to church. In identification, he said, if you don't have a church, you must. See, you'll die spiritually. You'll just dwindle away. Like, I got this picture of this plant that's just, if it doesn't have water, the water of the word, then it's just going to shrivel up and not know what its purpose is and not have the Spirit of the Lord in its life, and you just start shriveling up. In fellowship, he said, Mother used to tell me, she said, birds of a feather flock together. Well, that's a whole lot of truth to that. You never see the crows and doves feeding together because their appetites are not the same. Their diets cannot be the same. Their talk isn't the same. And so is the man that's out of fellowship with God, has no desire to go to church or do right, and those who are with God long for that fellowship. You just can't stand it. And forsaking all, Brother Branham said, you can't go around hanging around and going to pool rooms and hanging away from church and staying home on Wednesday night to see some kind of a filthy television play or something like that and forsake your church and all like that and ever expect to see Christ. You have to forsake those things to follow the Holy Spirit. In questions and answers, he said, I was called in on something like this the other day. A group in Arizona called my attention to that. See, a ministerial group said, the only thing that we have against you, Brother Branham, is one of the things. The people that comes out here with you, we can't get them to go to church anywhere. I thought this was a really interesting quote because that seems to bear record even today. As a lot of people around the message don't go to church. Isn't that interesting? The people that comes out with here with you, we can't get them to go to church anywhere. And he blasted that as hard as he could. Why is that? Said they got children and everything. They won't go to church. And said, well, we told them they was welcome to come to our church. Now, I know they put a pressure on you and want you to join, but you don't have to join. Put them kids in Sunday school somewhere, and you go to church. Don't sit at home, go fishing and hunting and things like that on Sunday. You say, well, I'm not a legalist. Well, you'd better be in that manner for a while, dishonoring the resurrection of Christ. You go to church somewhere. Now, you see, as we read some of these quotes, even Brother Brown was so for going to church that he would even make it a point, if they're not preaching all the doctrine, all fully correct doctrine, go to church somewhere anyway. Go to church somewhere until you find a good church where you can go. But you go somewhere because that's a Christian's duty, is to fellowship with others and to show your light, not cover up your light, the light that you have with a cover it under a bushel or something, but you go and be a light somewhere, because that's your mandate as a Christian, to show that light to others. Right. And questions and answers. He said, do you teach that the bride must not attend any other church unless you are preaching, or else otherwise the tabernacle? No, I don't teach that. I don't believe that. I do not believe that. We've got ministers sitting here that's scattered all around through the country, and I believe they are part of that bride. I believe that a man or a woman can go to church anywhere they want to go that teaches the word. And I believe if they don't teach the whole word, and you can't go to church any other place where they teach the whole word, go where they teach half the word until you can get to where they teach the whole word. Go to church. Whatever you do, do that. I think maybe as we meditate on these, we see how easy it is to say, too, that we believe the message when, you know, you got to, if you want to know whether you believe the message, you got to get in the message, because it'll expose whether you really believe what Brother Brown says or not. You know, so many people say they believe what Brother Brown says, and yet they don't go to church when he clearly said, you got to go to church. That's like my most basic foundational thing, is to stay at your post of duty. Go to church, and every time the door is open, you be there. And trying to do God a service without it being God's will, he said, people think I don't even believe in people going to church. Why would they think that? Because that's what people even today believe. People think I don't even believe in people going to church. That's a million miles from the truth. We must assemble ourselves together, and that much more as we see the day approaching. See, we must come together in unity. If I lived in a city and they had nothing there but, some church, I don't want to call any name, but just any church, if they only believed one thing, that Jesus was divine, all the rest of it was wrong, I'd go to that church. That's a pretty bold statement, isn't it? Yeah. To not believe anything right, but that just Jesus was divine, and he'd still go to that church. If I can't get a whole loaf of bread, I'll take a slice. I'll go listen, worship the Lord, and show him that I'm doing my part. I want him to know I'm alive. I want everybody to know what side I'm on. I think there's the clincher to the whole lesson this morning, is I want everybody to know what side I'm on. If you're not coming to church, then it's debatable whose side you're on. But I want everybody to know I'm on the Lord's side. And the church choosing law for grace, Brother Ram said, and when men and women get to a place, well, I really ought to stay at home and see this good play tonight. But I'll tell you, they'll think I'm backslid if I don't go on down to church. And you sit there and sleep anyhow. You might as well stayed home and looked at something you'd enjoy more. But when your joy becomes the Lord, and the Lord is your joy, you can't stay away from church. Then you're getting somewhere. See, he's talking about not just coming to church because somebody gonna crack you upside the head if you don't, or because you're trying to follow a rule book. But when you love God so much you can't stay away, then something real is happening. And look what he said. He said the church was in better shape 40 years ago for the coming of the Lord Jesus than it is tonight. Way better. They were closer to God. They had more God among them. They had more spirit among them than they got tonight. Because he's talking about the heart condition. Where's your heart at this morning as we get prepared for the day's sermons? Are you so in love with God that you just can't stay away from it? Because that's the main thing. We don't want rule followers. We want your heart to be changed. In spiritual adoption, he said, and it's possible, get it now. Listen, you can worship through knowledge. You can go to church by knowledge that you should do it. But going to church that way is worshiping in vain. But when there's something happens down in your heart that makes you love God in such a way that you can't stay from the church, that's the revelation. God revealing. That's the revelation. When you can't stay away from church. And God keeps his word. He said, and they go to church because they know it's a decent thing to do. If that's all you go to church for, you're just a hypocrite. That's all. You don't go to church for thinking it's a decent thing to do. You go to church to worship God. You go to meet God, to thank Him and to praise Him and to worship Him. A house of worship. Now that's what we need. I hope maybe that answers the question if anybody's debating in their mind, well, I don't see the purpose to going to church. Well, there it is. You go to church to meet God and to thank Him and to worship Him and enter into His praises and to get fed and get your spiritual belly full to get it so that God can minister to you. A man that's born of the Spirit of God loves to go to church better than he loves to eat his dinner when he's hungry. Oh, you think about that. That you, a real Christian is going to love coming to church more than they love going to Subway, more than they love Zaxby's, more than they love a good steak dinner, because it's more than life to you. The spiritual man on the inside has got to be fed. If that man isn't fed, he'll die. The outward man isn't fed, he'll die. And so will the inward man. And the ever-present water from the rock. This is a lot crammed in here, so if you can't see it, I'll just read it. He said, just like a love affair, if you was going with a girl because you knew it was a duty, or you going with a boy when you were young, mama wants me to go with this guy, but I just can't stand him. You don't get nothing of him coming to see you. Or if it's the same way about the girl to the boy or boy to the girl, you go with her, she bores you. Mama wants you to go with her because she's the type of girl that mama likes. See, it bores you. There's no love affair. If it bores you, you go to sleep and you'll just get real tired because you're not in love with it. But you don't care. You don't want to clean up. You don't want to go see her. And it's a horrible thing. And when he's coming to see you, you just wish he'd hurry on, go home. You just wish he'd just hurry on up so you could go to Subway, the thing that you love more than the Word of God. That's the same way it is when you, why does he preach so long? What about all this stuff and everything? See, you're not in love. But when you really hang on to every word, as the Spirit gave you warning this morning, hanging on to every word, that might be what He has been talking to you about, holding on. It's eternal life, every word of God. It's a joy to go to church under any circumstance, whether it's hot, cold, indifferent, whether the people are fussing, growling, whatever they're doing, it's still a joy to hear the word of the Lord. Then you're in love then with Christ, see. You love to go to church. In fellowship, Brother Ramon said, well, I knew they were very formal and different. So I said, you know, Dr. Brown, the reason of it is they don't have the right thing in their heart. If a man is right in his heart and the church bell rings, he just can't stand still. He's got to go. That's all. It's life and death to him. He must move. And Baum and Gilead, he said, have you lost all the joy? The gospel don't sound to you like it used to? There's something wrong then. If that love of God isn't above everything else, that your heart, when that church bell rings, your heart just burns. Amen. This morning, aren't you just glad to be in church this morning?
Yes.
When the church bell rings or something ringing in your heart, yes, that you got to get to church. Because you love God. In the unpardonable sin, he said, he give me the Holy Spirit. The things that I once hated, I now love. The sacrifice. It used to be hard for me to go to church. I love to go now. To hear the people sing and shout and testify, I used to hate it. I love it now. Something has changed me. Then I have a new and living way. Something has anchored here. You know, in the church, when Brother Brown was preaching the church ages, he made a statement that God has made us kings and priests. And priests in the Old Testament offer sacrifices. Well, here in the New Testament, you offer sacrifices. And your sacrifices are the sacrifices of your time and of your money. And you sacrifice to come to church because you love it. And that's what a priest does. A priest offers sacrifices. And you're offering sacrifices when you come to church. It used to be hard for you to go to church, but now you sacrifice because God has made you a priest. And forsaking all, he said, you who have fallen away, stay home on Wednesday nights and won't come over here to church watching televisions and other nights of church. Think you really say if you have to come to church, you have to force yourself to do it because you think it's a law you do it. You ought to do it. It's honorable to do it. And if you don't love to do it, there is something wrong. There's a Holy Spirit that makes you love to serve God. And forsaking all, I think that's a duplicate quote. And be not afraid, he said, the revival is over. And we hear not long ago why the revival was burning, and now it seems like it's kind of hard to get the church filled up. The pastors tell me that it's hard nowadays, and the people won't go to church. They'd rather stay home and watch television or something. The love has gone out of their heart. And the unwelcome Christ, he said, you know, people have things in common. People who love the Lord, they like to go to church because they have things in common. We have common grounds for things. We come here because we're all believers in this way of worship. We believe in divine healing. That's the reason you bring your sick here. You don't go to places they don't believe in divine healing to get healed. You go to places where they believe in divine healing. And we believe in worshiping the Lord in the Spirit. And that's why you come here, is because we have his fellowship. In pride, he said, oh, Pharisees, plenty of them. Oh, you say I belong to church. That's all right. Sure you do. But what attitude do you take towards my Lord? When he wants to come to you and bless you, you won't do it. Oh, no, I don't believe in that kind of stuff. That's the same group I'm talking about. Very religious, but very Pharisaic. What did I say they was in the beginning? Actors. Quit acting religion. Get an old-fashioned experience of regeneration born again. My Lord, he longs to see you. He's waiting for you. Takes the little place in the corner. He never rebukes you for it. He loves you. You go to church once or twice a month. You think you've done your duty. Oh, if you only loved him, you'd go every night and every day somewhere and talk with him if you loved him. And why are people so tossed about it? He said, let my neighbors gossip. Let the this, that, or the other be gone. I go to church for one thing. That's to stay in your presence. I've moved in there, Lord. I'll never desire to leave again. I'll trust your word, what you say. There's where I want to be. Drop the veils around me, Lord, that I can only see Jesus Christ and live and walk and die in him. There you are. And as the musicians come forward, he said in the voice of the sign, we believe that every Christian ought to have a home church that they go to. Every Christian ought to meet somewhere with believers. And wherever you meet, that's the church. And he said, and hear ye him, when a Christian will stay home from church to see some silly play like that, there's something happened in that person's life. The Holy Spirit went out somewhere. And he said in the uncertain sound, we ought to worship all day Sunday. That's the day set aside for that. So now go to Sunday school in the morning somewhere and stay for church. And it's always a sin to send your children to Sunday school. You know that. Everyone knows that. A sin to send your children to Sunday school. Take them. How many loves to come to church this morning? Because you love God. God bless you.